in a series called Where is God? Where is God? And it's because some of us may be asking that. Like, is there a God? Is he out there? Is he doing anything? Is he available at all? Some of us may be asking, where is God in the sense, I believe in God, I believe he's real, but what I'm going through in life points me to say, I don't know where he's at. Because what I'm going through would tell me he's not around, he's not working, he's not available, and I'm asking, where is God? Because I believe in him, I just don't see him in my life. And we can ask that question in a couple different ways, and so I want us to go to the Old Testament today. Not a single amen. Okay. Just me. I'll say amen. Amen. I'm excited to be in the Old Testament today. Psalm 66, if you want to turn there. Psalm 66. Is at least anyone in the front row? Any of my front row people, at least, are you excited to be in the Old Testament? Praise God. All right. Front row people, they got their notepads out. I guess that's like the one requirement to sit up front on the front is you were ready to take notes. I got all eight people ready. Okay, I see your head nodding. You're with me. Let's go. Psalm 66. Right there in the back, praise God, too. We got our people in the bleachers. What's up, y'all? Love y'all. Y'all ready, too? Okay, Psalm 66, verse 8. It says, let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises. And I'm going to stop there. You're like, great, I haven't found Psalm 66 yet. If you go to the middle of your Bible and look, Psalm 66 is there. It says, loudly sing his praises. Have you ever wondered why your pastor stands right here in worship? It's because 100% of you do not want to hear me singing. The data has come in on that. I love to sing loudly. I love worship. But I've discovered not only do you not like to hear me sing loudly, I don't like to hear me sing loudly. That's what's happened there. Even if it's not for your benefit, I don't want to hear myself sing loudly, but I will. I love worship. I'm passionate about Jesus. I like to show it in worship. But I also don't like to hear myself. And so that is my spot. I'm willing to share. If you want to come up front, you know, Maddie, what's up? You said maybe one day you join me up front. That day's still coming. We're praying for it. I'm going to be there because I don't want to hear myself sing loudly. But the author of this text says, I'm going to sing loudly. And that's before they had speakers. So you know he was passionate. Okay. Verse 9 says, our lives are in his hands and he keeps our feet from stumbling. Look at verse 10. I want you to underline or highlight verse 10. You have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver. We're going to come back to that verse. That's why you're underlining or highlighting it. Verse 11, you captured us in your net and laid the burden of slavery on our backs. And then you put a leader over us. We went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. Now I come to your temple with burnt offerings to fulfill the vows I made to you. Yes, the sacred vows that I made when I was in deep trouble. And that is why I'm sacrificing burnt offerings to you, the best of my rams as a pleasing aroma, and a sacrifice of bulls and male goats. And all the female goats were very happy about that news. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. The first thing I want us to look at is what we highlighted or underlined in verse 10. And it said, you have tested us, O God, and you've purified us like silver. Some of us, not me, because I'm not very artistic. If you're wanting to learn facts about me, I'm not artistic, okay? That's not my strength. That's someone else's strength. But this is kind of like poetic, right? This is kind of like you purified us like silver. You're like, that sounds almost soothing. Okay, I like that. But it's not meant to be soothing. I'm going to go and tell you that. In their time and understanding, when he says purify us like silver, the people in this context, they had blacksmiths around. Okay, and we in North Georgia still have some blacksmiths, but it's not like a normal part of our routine to head down, run some errands at the local blacksmith. That doesn't happen for most of us. But in this context, most people would know that purifying silver, you would take it and put it at the hottest point in the fire and let it heat up to excruciating levels of heat, and that would remove the impurities from the silver. So when the author is saying, purify us like silver, he's not talking about some soothing poetic line. He's like, stick me in the fire, heat me up, remove my impurities, because that is beneficial. And then when we hear it like that, we go, oh no, that doesn't sound pleasant. None of us wake up in the morning going, I hope God sticks me in the hottest point in the fire, heats me up to like a molten lava level, and then that's going to sound good. That does not sound like a day at the spa. You know, you ever been to a spa relaxing moment, you know, like a good back massage, or you ever see, you know, one of my dreams is to have like the hot stones. I don't know why I really want that, but that sounds nice to just tighten up or loosen up the back, you know. That's not going to be a day at the spa. They're not going to go stick you in the fire as part of your day at the spa. But the author says that's really important. He says, purify me like silver, stick me in there, and none of us would sign up and want to go through that, right? I got like four of y'all with me. Praise God. Some of you are like, I don't know if this message is going to be encouraging. Sticking me in fire. Who does this guy think he is? I don't know. I'm just reading scripture to you. What's the problem? But that doesn't sound overly pleasant. But what if God has a purpose? What if God has a reason for all that? And some of us, when I say stuff like that, some of y'all been in church long enough and you go, yes, yes, God has a purpose. Praise God. But we're also some of the same people where as soon as we get stuck in the fire, we're like, where's God? Get me out of here. This hurts. And some of y'all are right there right now. You're in the fire, and you're in church, and you're not going to say that out loud, but that is how life feels to you, is you are in the fire, and it's not pleasant. And I'm here to tell you, it was never designed to be that way. The first thing I want us to talk about is growth comes in tension. If you are taking notes, that's the first point, if I can explain that. The first point is growth comes in tension. And some of us like the idea of growth. We don't like the idea of tension. Some of us like the idea of impurities being removed from our life, right? Some of us are aware we got things about ourselves we don't like. We don't really want around. Maybe sometimes if we get agitated, we don't treat people the right way. Or maybe sometimes when your patience goes down, when you work with the general public, have you discovered this? You don't always act like Jesus Christ. And you're like, I need some growth in that area. But when it comes to the tension part of that, we go, no, that's not what I asked for, right? Like, God's a genie who can just do stuff, just snap his fingers, and he can. He's a miracle-working God, but some of y'all need to be purified. That is the miracle, you know what I'm saying? Man, y'all are a tough crowd today. Some of y'all are still like, is he still talking about putting me in the fire? Who is he? It's okay, just highlight it, underline it. We're coming back, okay? But we don't want the tension. We don't want those moments of being stretched and purified. But here's the thing we've got to understand is God's willing to do that. God's absolutely willing to purify us like silver, to remove impurities from us. He sees a product right now. He sees us, and he sees us in all of our impurities, but he can see past them. He can see past all of our impurities. He can see what we can become as he refines us like silver. But what happens when we're under tension sometimes? What happens in those moments where we're being heated up? What happens in those moments where life is really hard? An enemy shows up. An enemy shows up in those hard, refining moments where God's trying to remove impurities out of our life. And what is the enemy going to do in those very moments of refinement? He's going to try to add impurity back in. I don't know if any of you guys have noticed this. What do you do when you're stressed? And I know you're not going to answer out loud because goodness knows half of y'all like asleep at this point. But what happens when we're under stress? Some of us may stress eat. You know, the local Chinese buffet still in business strictly because everybody in there stressed and trying to get some crab ragoon down to try to make my anxiety go down, okay? Some of us may go shopping. We got a binge shopping. I'm going to get my stress to go away because I'm going to get something new. And I know some of y'all are stressed by how much you're spending on some items to get rid of your stress. Good heavens. God bless. I hope you know that the credit card does come with a bill at the end of every month, okay? Some of us respond to our stress in some more unhealthy ways. You may have an addiction. You may go to alcohol every night to try to get rid of that stress or that tension. You may go to pornography to try to get rid of your stress or your things. You may go to drugs. You may go to something when the tension rises, when the difficulties arrive. We try to go to things to lower the tension. But what if God is saying in these tense moments, it's for a purpose to refine you. God's trying to remove some things out of our life, but in those moments when we're stretched, we're in the refining, the enemy's going to try to come back in and add impurities back in. It's something he's been trying to do since the beginning of time. You can go back and read with the Israelites in the Old Testament. I believe it's in the book of Numbers. He tries to go in. God's trying to take people to a promised land flowing with milk and honey, and it's great and fantastic. And the enemy gets the Israelites to the point where they're like, let's go back to Egypt and voluntarily go back into slavery because life was easier there. That's what's happening when we're under tension, when it's under difficult things, when God's trying to refine us and the enemy wants to add impurities back in. But God is trying to refine us because growth comes in tension. The second thing is growth withers in comfort. Growth withers in comfort. See, we don't really like the refining process. It doesn't sound very pleasant. But is God really loving if he never refines us? Is God really loving if he never refines us? Because some of us, our first temptation would be, God, if you just allowed me to stay comfortable, if you just allowed me to stay where I'm at, it would be pleasant, I'd be good, I'd enjoy that. God, if you loved me, you would let me be comfortable. One of the refining moments in my life, God's trying to change some things when he moves me from Florida to North Georgia and I rebel against God. Some of those refining moments, if we're not careful, turn into moments where we turn from God rather than see the process through. Some of those refining moments and then moments in the fire, we want to run from God. We want to get out of the fire, but God actually has a purpose for it. If he really loves us, he would refine us. He wouldn't leave us where we're at. And that's good news for some of us. Some of y'all are like, I'm good-looking silver. I don't know what the problem is. I'm good-looking silver. You're adding that to your notes. That's not in the notes. Don't be writing that down. We can be good-looking silver, though. I want to ask this question, and you should write this one down because some of us need to ponder this. When's the last time you got excited about who God is making you? When's the last time you got excited about who God is making you? When's the last time you got excited about who God is making you? Because in the moment of tension and growth and all of those things, I don't know that any of us sometimes stop to think, man, I can't wait to see what I look like once I get through this. Once the Lord brings me through this refining process, I can't wait to see where he's got me. Because intrinsically, our mind always wants to default back to comfort. We want to go back to where we were. We'll go, God, if you'll take me out of the fire, I will settle for how I was before because that was easier. But growth withers in comfort. If God really loves us, he wouldn't let us stay where we're at. And in that moment of when we're under fire, when the fire is getting hot, when the refining is taking its place and purpose, the question we should ask is, I can't wait to see how I look if God's doing this right now. And it's hard. I don't know if you've been here long to know. I don't tend to preach easy things because I don't think the Bible does. I think the Bible tends to teach true things. But in that moment, growth withers with comfort. But if we can go, God, as hard as what I'm going through is right now, I believe you can take me through it and make me better. I believe at the end of this, God, I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better wife. I'm going to be a better parent. I'm going to be a better leader. I'm going to be a better Christ follower. I believe after this refining process, I'm going to be more Christ-like. And that right there should challenge some of us. Do you want to be more comfortable, or do you want to be more Christ-like? Do you want to be more comfortable, or do you want to be more Christ-like? Because the Bible, the author is already telling us right here in Psalm 66, he says, for you to be refined and have these impurities removed, it's going to be like purifying silver. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be the most enjoyable thing. It's not going to be us going to Chuck E. Cheese and winning 5,000 tickets. This is not in my notes. I know Chuck E. Cheese is in trouble. And the reason I know they're in trouble, I was at the grocery store the other day, and Chuck E. Cheese is now selling their pizza in the frozen food section. I don't know if you've ever been to a Chuck E. Cheese, but I guarantee you that was not in the business model at the beginning. Like, we're going to have some really good pizza. Such good pizza that people are going to be clamoring at the local Ingles to buy this pizza. No, someone in a boardroom says, we're not doing well right now. We might as well try to sell our pizza to people. Y'all, if you are buying Chuck E. Cheese pizza out of the frozen food section, I can promise you, you got some purifying coming in your life soon. Okay? That's not in the notes, but I feel like God can use that in your life. Chuck E. Cheese, they in trouble. But growth withers in comfort. Growth withers in comfort. But the author in this text in Psalm 66, he says something so odd. He talks about, I confessed my sin. Did you catch that? He says, I confessed my sin. And he starts to say, and then God blessed my prayer for that. God blessed my prayer. Some of us are so comfortable, but wondering sometimes why our prayers are not being blessed. And it's because God's not here to bless us in the comfort of our sin. God's not here to bless us in the comfort of our sin. God wants to purify us from our sin. And some of us, we think the enemy comes and he tells us, no, you don't want to confess. You don't want to take this to God. You don't want to go close to God. God does not want to hear about this. God already knows about it and is so angry, you need to stay away. The reason the enemy tells you that is because the enemy knows that if you are willing to confess your sin and say, God, I'm so sorry. What I've done is wrong. It's not of you. Please forgive me. That God will bless that prayer. The enemy knows that. And so in order for him to see your life not be purified, not be blessed, for you not to experience everything God has for you, he's going to try to keep you from confessing that sin. And then once we realize the purifying process, some of us go, I don't really want to confess my sin because if I acknowledge my sin, then I may have to be purified and I'm comfortable where I'm at. One of the greatest things that's plaguing Christianity today, I don't think it's sin. It's our love of comfort. I don't know that it's sin because Jesus can take away the sin. It's when we love comfort, we'll end up loving sin. And if we're not careful, we'll try to protect our life to keep ourselves comfortable rather than saying, I really want to be Christ-like. Where you work does not need you to be comfortable. They need you to be Christ-like. What your family needs right now is not you being comfortable. What they need is you being Christ-like. What they need in your friend group is not you comfortable. It's you being Christ-like. And if God really loves us, he would purify us, even as uncomfortable as that can be, even as difficult as that can be. And I don't know if you know this in our society. Our society tends to push us toward, hey, just get to retirement, right? Have some of y'all working towards that? You're trying to save up money, working on that Roth IRA, been looking at the stock market, and you're like, God must be refining me because I see a lot of red. And I don't know if some of y'all know this. Red is not good in the stock market. We don't like red, okay? But God's refining us. He's working. But once we get to retirement, our American thinking is now I'm good. We work our whole life to be uncomfortable, to be comfortable in retirement. That's right, right? I mean, some of you guys who are retired, tell me this. You worked your butt off to have a little bit of comfort, right? I hope so. I mean, that's my goal. But spiritually, that concept doesn't exist. Spiritually, at no point does the Lord look and go, I will now bless you with comfort. You've served me long enough, and now you're good. We'll do, let somebody else do something, and you're good. I've got news for you. I've read this scripture, and there's not an asterisk in there where God stops refining you at some point. And I'm here to tell you, actually, it's very loving that he says that. Because even at 70-something years old, if God refines you, it means he loves you. He's not done with you. There is a purpose for you. I got somebody in the back giving amen. That's right. He knows. Captain Sweat Gland here, a part of our setup team. Do you know half the people on our setup team are retired? Did you know that? You probably didn't. You don't ever see them. They just work in the shadows. Show up on a Friday night or Saturday morning, set all this up. Hiwassee, their team sets up on Sunday morning. God's not done with you just because you're retired. The good news is you may not have to work anymore, but spiritually, God's not done with you in the least bit. He may continually refine you until the day he calls you home because he goes, I'm not done with you. You have a purpose. You have a plan. Some of you may be 18 and you may just be leaving the house right now, heading off in college. You're getting responsibility. I got news for you. God's going to refine you. He's at that early of an age going to be looking to plant things in your character, drawing out value in you. It's not down the road. Young people, God's saying, I will work in and through you now. Now. You have influence in middle school, high school, college. God's wanting to work in and through you now. The third point is growth needs a mission. Growth needs a mission. Because if we're in the refining process, what's one of the things that would allow you to accept, maybe, one of the things that may help you embrace the process? It's if there's a purpose. Some of us may be able to get to the point to go, I don't love this purifying process, but I'll stay in it if there's a purpose. I mean, I think about some of the people who have trained to be in our military. Do you think any of them enjoy the training they go through to be in our military? Probably not. It's not comfortable. It's not designed to be comfortable. It's designed to help them be ready. And as we go through this purifying process of God's removing impurities and working in us, there's a purpose for us to be ready for what he's calling us to. He has already an understanding of who I need you to be in 3 years to accomplish what I want to do in and through you. And I've got to purify. I've got to work in you. I've got plans for you in 3 years, but until from now till then, there's some things that have to change. There's some growth that needs to take place. And if God has a mission for your life, which he does, I don't want to be a spoiler, but I've read the Bible. There's a plan for your life through the power of God. Growth needs a mission. Growth needs a mission. I want us to read James chapter 1. And when I say James chapter 1, it's going to be just a few verses in it. I encourage you to go read all of the book of James. It's a good one. But James chapter 1, because you may go, okay, Phil, that's kind of vague. Like, what is the mission? I can get on board if there's a clear mission. What does it look like? James chapter 1, if you're in Psalms, it's kind of in the middle of your Bible. James is going to feel like toward the very end of the Bible. It's going to feel like toward the very end. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Growth needs a mission. And James is trying to tell these people, and in these moments, what they're talking about with great trials is like, hey, you worship and follow Jesus, they'll drag you in the streets and possibly kill you. They'll drag you out and throw you in jail. Like, that's what they're talking about when it comes to growth. It's a different thing than what we go through. And they're saying, in those moments, you can count it great joy. And if you're like me, you go, what? That's not normal. But being Christ-like isn't necessarily normal. And he says, in those moments, count it a great joy because your endurance can grow. Your endurance can grow. One of the things that the Lord is looking for, can you live your life consistently following him? Can you endure through the ups, through the downs, through the refining process? Can you endure? And James is trying to tell us that is one of the greatest traits of a Christ follower, is the ability to endure. And God, in his refining process, is trying to make you and I have the characteristic through the power of Holy Spirit be able to endure. But it's not easy. It's not easy. How many of you guys have tried to go to the gym for the first day or go run a race or go run a marathon or a half marathon or goodness knows even a 5K? Running requires endurance. And sometimes that doesn't happen overnight. Does it not? Amen. One person is with me. Some of you have not endured this message. Somebody in the back got that like 10 seconds later. But God's trying to do something in us. When we go through the refining process, when things are really hard and we ask, where is God in this? One of the hard things for us to accept is God's like, I'm right here and I'm the one allowing you to go through this. That's hard. We go, where is God in the greatest difficulties of my life? And he goes, I'm right here trying to refine you because there is a plan and purpose in your life. Who I need you to be 3 years, 3 weeks, 5 years from now is different than who you are today. I need you to be refined some, to be capable of the calling I have on your life, the plan, the purpose, the mission. I need you to grow. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be like refining, and it's going to be difficult. The worship team wants to come back up. I want to close out with the question. Are we becoming comfortable or Christ-like? Are we becoming comfortable or Christ-like? I think the human tendency, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, is we like comfort. We want comfort. None of us, our default mode necessarily is to go, I want to be refined. We don't want the refining process inherently most times. And if we're not careful, we will try in our own power to make the world around us comfortable to us. One of the reasons I think politics becomes so passionate to people is people try to use that because they want to make the world comfortable around them. And the world's not very comfortable around us. It wasn't designed to be. The refining process of what God allows us to go through is for who he sees us as. Do you think God would allow a nation to go through a refining process? Do you think God would allow you to go through a refining process? Do you think God would allow the world to go through a refining process? He surely would if there's a mission, if there's a purpose, if there's a plan. It's one of the reasons I don't lose any hope in what can happen in this nation. To me, whether an election goes a certain way or not, I don't lose any hope. I didn't place my hope in any politician's ability to refine a nation. I place my hope in God. The Bible tells me there's one hope for this world, and his name is Jesus Christ. I didn't see him on the ballot. Somebody's clapping. Somebody's excited. Look at y'all. I'm trying to be serious. Y'all killing me. They're like, I saw the worship team come back up. It means we're almost done. I'm back. I am back, Pastor Phil, with a vengeance. I know God is working because this sermon's almost done. My endurance is almost complete. And I tell you what, we're about to have a runoff election. I'm going to tell you very blatantly, you should go vote. Like, don't avoid politics. We should absolutely go vote, 100%. But our hope is not found on a ballot sheet. It's the hope that Jesus Christ is still who he says he is. That a nation who is far from God can be refined beyond our understanding, beyond our wildest dreams, and people who are far from God can experience conviction, but also love. And it changes our hearts. And that's my hope for this nation. My hope is Jesus is still who he says he is. People who don't understand that can become aware, because it happened in my life. And that's my hope. So refining is not necessarily pleasant, but God will kill our comfort for us to become who he's calling us to be. So I want to ask you to stand up, whether you're in Hiawassee or here in the building or even online. And honestly, you don't have to stand up, because you may want to pray. If you want to stay seated, you totally can pray. Standing up isn't super spiritual necessarily, but it just means I get to tell who was sleeping during the sermon. And I want to close out and just encourage. So Courtney, over in Hiawassee, I want you to look around at this moment. But if you just say, I feel like God's trying to refine me, and it's hard right now, and I just want somebody to pray for me. I want somebody to have my back. I don't want to feel like I'm doing this alone. And if you just want me to pray for you in this moment, if you say, I feel like I'm being refined, and I just need some encouragement, just put up your hand and put it back down. I want to know who I'm praying for. Amen. 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 And maybe it encourages you a little bit to realize, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one being refined right now. I'm not the only one being refined. And I want to pray in this moment that God will strengthen you, that he'll reveal that he cares about your life right now. So let's pray. And I want to ask, don't just listen to me pray. If you are following Jesus right now, will you pray for other people? Just in this moment, that God will strengthen them, that he will encourage them. Jesus, I come right now in the name of Jesus. I saw probably 10 or more hands go up right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for those who are being refined. They're being tested. God, Holy Spirit, move right now. Give them strength and boldness and courage in the name of Jesus to work in and through them. God, I pray that you will reveal your love, that your love has not failed them, that your faithfulness has not failed them in the name of Jesus. I pray that you will reveal right now that you are available right now, God. I pray that you will just reveal, speak into people's hearts right now by the power of Holy Spirit, that you are right there with them, that they are not far from you, that their situations, their refining process has not been lost on you. You're very aware of what is going on. Holy Spirit, just begin to build a hope in people's hearts right now through the power of Holy Spirit. That we can trust in you even in the refining moments. That they have a purpose. That we can be excited about who you're making us to be. Give us a hope about what you're doing in our life, God. Give us a hope that we are not staying where we're at, but just as James 1 tells us, there is an endurance that's being built in us. I pray for those who maybe have never given their life to Jesus, that today can be their day. That they can experience your love and say, Lord, I want to give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to turn to you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, won't you continue to work in and through us to make us everything you want us to be, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.